good morning, family. Good morning. So it's so funny. So I, you know, Wednesday for midweek, Valentine's Day, some people gave me some grief. Like, are you really going to have midweek on Valentine's Day? Nobody here said that. Nobody here said that. I'm talking about the other people. And I'm going to be honest with you. I was pleasantly surprised because when I saw the numbers that logged on, I was like, wow, this is our whole region here. Everybody's here. So amen to that. And so, you know, I gave some homework at the end. And, you know, I'm trying to be funny, you know, in the spirit of, you know, friendship and love, you know, let's encourage one another. And I was so interesting to see how people really took this on. It was like, oh, I got one text. Somebody said, man, you going back old school. You know, we writing letters and stuff. And I came today and I'm seeing people handing out letters and cards and stuff. And I'm like, this is really encouraging, right? To be, you know, to be a part of something. And even if you didn't get a letter, but if you thought about somebody and you said, hey, I'm gonna encourage them, right? Like, that's the encouragement, that you thought about somebody and that you put in the effort to acknowledge them or to just let them know how you feel. And so I want to say, today is not the last day for homework. I'm not grading it. So you're getting some time so that you can try to get it done by Wednesday, right? So cool. You know, this morning, I know some people are ready to go into Nehemiah. And as excited as I am about it, unfortunately, I'm going to hold off just for a little bit, only because we have a couple of guest speakers that's going to be coming in the next couple of weeks. And I didn't want to like start it and then have to wait like, you know, 3-4 weeks before I get back to it. So I said, well, you know what, let me let the guest speakers come. And once they're, you know, once we get past that season, then we can actually kick in into Nehemiah. So next week we have Darren Thomas, who's going to be leading the singles service next week. And that's going to be awesome. So he'll be here. And then after that, we're going to have, on March 3rd, we're going to have Steve Nagoya from the Harlem region. He's going to come and preach. So, you know, so I'm like, hey, you know what? Nehemiah can hold off a couple more weeks, you know, and we can be able to jump into that. So with that, today's title for our sermon today, If the World Hates You. Now, the word hate out the gate, I already know is probably going to evoke some emotions. There is a lot of hate in this world. Many of us have experienced it on different levels. You've experienced it from a racial standpoint, political standpoint, financial standpoint, where you're from standpoint, job standpoint. At every level, there has been some experience of hate. And I haven't even listed all of the hate that could be experienced. And so I know just alone, just this title, If the World Hates You, that it's probably got you perked up in your seat right now. And you're like, wait a minute, where is he going with this? Where is he gonna go with this sermon today? And as I was reading through John chapter 15, this is where we're gonna be parking at today. There's a clear, at least for me, there is a clear distinction between some of the hate I've received personally in my life versus what Jesus is going to be referring to in the scriptures. And so this morning, I'm asking everyone to hone in from the perspective of Christ. Whether you are a Christian and you know the meaning, you know the call that you had on your life, or whether you're visiting and this is not the path that you're on right now, and you're just listening in or you just showed up, I want you for this next few moments to kind of look through the lens of Christ and understand this if the world hates you, okay? So I have a quote. The world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. Jesus Christ. This is a direct quote from Jesus. He starts out in John chapter 15. Before I get there, this is my first point. Why there's hate, right? I want to kind of set this context up. Why is there hate? Why would Jesus feel the need to tell his disciples this? Because this is a moment that he's having with his disciples. And the first point is, because you've been chosen. That's why there's hate for you. In John chapter 15, it reads in verse 18, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. You see, Jesus reminded his disciples of what they will be experiencing. This is on the right before, you know, Judas comes and before he goes, you know, goes through the trial and gets crucified. He gathered his disciples together and he's letting them know, hey, you know, all these times as you've been watching me dodging death, people trying to kill me, people trying to assassinate me, people trying to take me out. Well, it's going to happen to you. They're going to be coming after you. He reminds them that they're going to be persecuted. And because of his relationship to them. Remember in verse 15, if you look at John chapter 15, verse 15, you know, he says, I call you friends, right? We talked about this on Wednesday. You know, first they were considered servants, but now they're friends because of what Jesus had shared with them. He shared what he knew of the Father and he shared it with them. And now they became friends. And so now you have this relationship, right? Jesus has chosen them to be with him. Their commitment to following and obeying him put them in the line of fire. This is what the disciples are hearing right now. Sometimes being connected to someone may have its benefits. You know, like for me, for example, I share a story, a situation that happened to me when I was young. It was me and a couple of friends of mine. We were walking up, you know, in our neighborhood, and a group of guys, you know, a little older than me, you know, they you could tell something was about to take off. Something was going to happen. And so they came around, they kind of surrounded us, and then one of the guys in the back recognized me and was like, oh, chill, that's Mark's little brother. And because of that, they let us go. And so being associated with my brother protected me at that moment. Now, in contrast, the world doesn't really operate that way. When dealing with the world, Jesus always is in contrast to what the world has to offer. And so because of that, we shouldn't expect any different. We shouldn't expect the world to love us. We shouldn't expect the world to accept us, those who are in Christ, those who are walking in the light, because he told his disciples that it's coming for you as well. As it is, you do not belong to the world, he said, but I have chosen you out of the world. This is something that we always have to remember. The scripture says that we were all enemies of God at one point. We were aliens. We were foreigners. We were once considered enemies to God, just like the world. But then Jesus said, but I've chosen you out of the world. That's why the world hates you. You belong to me. There is a relationship that now is being experienced. And because of that association, the world hates you. Why the hate? Because you carry his name. Again, I think about the situation with my brother. If I didn't carry my brother's name at that point, then I would have probably been in a world of hurt. In John 15, picking up in verse 20, it says, remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teachings, then they will obey yours also. Now, let me show the next slide. In continuation, it says, they will treat you this way because of my name. for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin." So Jesus is now revealing another reason why the world is going to hate you. He's telling his disciples, he mentioned that, you know, the servant is no greater than the master. Again, he's affiliating the relationship. You see, if you have no relationship with me, then the world won't hate you. The world will always accept you if you're not associated with me. If you're not walking with me, if you're not obeying me, then the world will accept you. And you'll be able to go through life not dealing with the persecution of bearing my name. The world says, guilty by association. Guilty by association. But here's the thing. It's the world that's guilty. It's the world that chooses not to obey Jesus. It's the world that chooses not to accept the forgiveness. They're the one that's guilty. So that's why there's hate for Jesus. In verse 21, he says, "They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me." You know, there's a difference between knowing someone and knowing of them. Before I became a Christian, I knew of God. I knew he existed. But that's about it. There was no relationship with him. There was no seeking after him. There was no desire to be in the light. If anything, I experienced spiritual ignorance and blindness. Had no clue of what I was forfeiting or what I was in. And so Jesus is saying the world hates me because they don't know the Father. They don't know him. They know of him. His evidence is everywhere, but yet they don't know him. And this is where the disciples, I'm just imagining if I was sitting in that table, if I was sitting in that room or wherever Jesus was having this conversation with them, I would wonder about, okay, well, I have a relationship with you. And so my association with you was going to bring on this hate. And so this association with you is going to bring on this hate. Am I going to be able to walk this life with the pressure of this world of hating me? Am I going to be able to walk in light knowing that there's going to be persecution? There's going to be doubt. There's going to be questioning why I take a stand on this and why I take a stand on that. Why am I not going with the crowd? Why am I standing alone in this situation? Why am I the only one in the room that sees sin and won't tolerate it? Like, these are the things I'm imagining for myself as if I was sitting there, what it would be like. You know, people tell me, you know, it's like, even for myself, I come here and I'm still meeting new people, right? I'm still meeting faces. And some faces I remember, like, I was like, I recognize you, but I don't remember your name. I'm sorry. I don't remember, right? But the relationship, I got to build that relationship in order to really capture the person, right? So it's not enough to just know a name. It's a matter of me building relationship with one another. And that's how I'm going to get to know who you are. And it's the same way with Christ. It's like, you can't just know Christ. You got to be in relationship with him. You can't just know of him. You can't just be full of head knowledge of him. You got to know him. You got to be in the light with him, walking with him. There's a difference between knowing somebody and knowing of them. By Jesus coming down on earth and living amongst the world, they were able to see who God was. There was no more reading of the scrolls or no more needing to having to, you know, having it be read to you who God is. Here's Jesus in the flesh. So if you want to know who God is, you can come know me, because I reflect everything that my Father has given me and shown me. And so he's telling these disciples this, and I think about the world, right? This says, the scripture said that they did not know who Jesus was. They did not know him. And so for that, they hated him. It's difficult, at least from my personal opinion, it's difficult to hate an individual that I don't know. Now, we are human. And I'm not naive to say, well, there's a lot of people that do some things that is hateful. And so that could invoke a hatred within my own heart. But when I think about the context with Jesus, how could I hate someone that I never got a chance to know? And the world had an opportunity to know who God was because he was in the flesh. He was walking among them. He was serving them. He did miracles for them. They had plenty of opportunities. And if they examined the scriptures, if they examined the scrolls, they would see that, man, it was pointing right to him. Now, some people got it, but the majority didn't. The majority of the world did not get to know who God was. They got to know of him, but they didn't get to know him. Why the hate? Because while Jesus walked this earth, he spoke to things that was in contrary to what was accepted in the world. He spoke against sin. He didn't accept it within a person or a group. He spoke against it. He spoke to what was contrary of what was God's nature. This is God's nature, and I'm going to speak against what is not his nature. And these things brought hate towards him. Here are some other things that Jesus said. In John 3, chapter 3, verses 19 to 20, it says, "Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed." He also said in John chapter 12, verses 46 and 48, "I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. If anyone hears my words but do not keep them, I do not judge that person, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. The very words I have spoken will condemn them on the last day." These are the words of Jesus. These are some of the things he spoke to while he walked amongst the world. And for that, there was his hatred. So why the hate? Jesus spoke against continual living in darkness. Why the hate? Jesus spoke against being a hypocrite. Why the hate? Jesus spoke against living immoral. Why the hate? Jesus spoke against greed. Why the hate? Jesus spoke against materialism. Why the hate? Jesus spoke on repentance. Why the hate? Jesus spoke on loving your enemies. Why the hate? Jesus spoke on giving to the needy. Why the hate? Jesus claimed exclusivity to salvation. Not multiple ways, but one. This is why the world hated him first. And this is why those who are following him, the world will hate you as well. The world is not going to accept the things that Jesus taught. Now, we pray, we hope, we fast that God moves in the individuals and that their hearts are ready to receive the truth and that they would enjoy the same glory and benefit that those of us who have accepted the truth, that they'll get to experience that. But Jesus said, the world hated me first. And this is just a small list of why they hated him. You know, when you say things like this and you live by them, you're going to get some hate. It's not a popular message. It's not popular to tell someone that they're living in sin, that the very thing that they're enjoying that is wrong and that is going to bring judgment on them. It's not a popular conversation, but it's a necessary one if you're concerned about the internal and not the physical. Jesus was willing, and we already saw the example that he laid. There's a phrase, you know, I stand on business. Well, I'm going to say I stand on Christ. This is what I signed up for. If it means I got to walk through places and I get the eye, or if it means that my life becomes uncomfortable or I'm in unfavorable situations because I'm bearing the name of Christ, then so be it. Because as I'm doing this, I got to believe somebody is watching and somebody's heart is being moved by the stance. Just as Jesus did in his days when he was walking the earth, people responded. Not everyone responded, but some responded. Some saw him standing on righteousness, unwavering, uncompromising. And they saw that, and their hearts were moved, and they responded to what he said. The Sermon on the Mount, many people heard it, but some responded. Some thought, hey, that's a nice message. It makes me feel good. But in the end, you got to respond to what you hear. And so in this case, Jesus said, the world hates me because I speak on these things, and they have no relationship with me. Why the hate? Because they resent the truth. The world resents the truth. In every arena you could think about as you walk through your life, when there is truth being put forward, people will be uncomfortable, especially when they're the perpetrators. Especially when they're the guilty party, they're going to resent the truth. In John 15, verse 22, it reads, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Jesus told the truth to the world when it came to sin. He never held back. He never decided, you know what, I'm not going to speak up on this. The message of the cross brings people face to face with themselves, and decisions have to be made. When the cross is being presented to you, the world, you have to make a choice. You have to accept that Jesus did die for your sins, or you don't. You don't accept it. And so, if you do accept it, what is the benefit? What is it that you gain by accepting this message that Christ has brought? Well, salvation for your soul. This is what you receive. Forgiveness of sins. This is what you receive. Peace with God. This world is crying out for peace, but looking in all the wrong places. Some people are searching for things to fill some gap in their hole, the hole in their heart, all in the wrong places. You get a transformed life. No longer walking in darkness, no longer groping against the wall, trying to figure out which way to go. Your life now has a purpose. Not a materialistic purpose, not a let me get it, the next house purpose, not the next job purpose or the next title. No, you get real purpose, soul-saving purpose. Cannot find that in the world. You can't. But what happens if you reject it? What happens if this hate towards Jesus remains in your heart? Well, everything I just said has become the opposite. You don't get salvation for your soul. You don't get forgiveness of your sins. You don't get peace with God. Your life won't be transformed. You will not gain a new purpose. But what you will have is spiritual blindness. And you will remain there. Pending judgment. Judgment that you know is coming. There's no escaping it. Whether it happens today, 200 years from now, 1,000 years from now, it's going to come. And you will have to answer for it. No hope is waiting for you if you choose not to accept the message of Christ. There is no other hope in this world. People have searched far and wide, climbed the highest mountains. Some people left the earth. Can't find hope out there. It's only found in Christ. The hate comes from a guilty conscience. When the truth is being presented to you about yourself, when that mirror is brought in front of you and you see for yourself who you really are before God, when your soul is not saved, when you haven't received the gift of baptism and the Holy Spirit, when you're looking at yourself, one of two things happen. You either submit or you tense up. And then it starts to kick in. And then there's a willful ignorance that also follows. Like I saw this analogy. It's like they said, you know, it's like driving on a highway, knowing the speed limit, but you decide, I'm gonna go 10 miles over the speed limit. And then, whoop, whoop, you get pulled over. And then what you end up doing is you get mad at the cop for pulling you over, rather than being mad that you chose to go 10 miles over the speed limit. See, sometimes you get the focus of the hate is on the messenger, and it's never on the message. They focus their hate on Christ, but never realize the message is what they're really rejecting. He said in John 15, verses 25, but this is to fulfill what was written in the law. They hated me without reason. You see, Jesus gave them the truth. He lived it. He spoke it. He walked amongst them. Hate comes because there is no excuse for their sin. If the sin was justifiable, then it wouldn't be hate. But because there is no excuse for sin, hate follows. Hate comes because the truth is contrary to the world. The world is built on illusion and creating a narrative that is opposite of God. It's built up that way. The hate comes because there's no relationship with Christ, which means no relationship with God. You can't separate the two. You can't say, I know Christ, but don't know God. It's not possible. The hate comes because Jesus refused to tolerate, accept, or conform to the world's patterns and norms. This is what he's telling his disciples. This is what they saw. It wasn't just that he told them this. Remember, they walked with him for 3 years. Right? He said, come follow me. And they walked with them. And they saw for themselves, okay, well, Jesus is doing these things, but he's also living it. He's living this out. Like his relationship with God is not fairy tale. It is truly real. His convictions, when he spoke with authority, amazed people. This is who he was. And when he spoke out against the patterns of the world, the hate followed. And so the disciples now in hearing this are getting ready to embrace what's coming. Because if this is happening to Jesus, and we're to follow him, they're thinking, man, we're going to be continuing this message. You know, at this point, they really didn't understand, okay, Jesus is going to die and he's going to head into heaven. He's going to resurrect. I mean, they heard it, but it was more like a theory. They didn't really grasp it. But as you look further into the text, and Jesus is gone, and now they had to carry that message on, they began to experience the hate that Jesus was talking about. If the world hates you, keep it in mind that it hated me first. How much did the world hated Christ? Well, this hate led to rebellion against God. It led to persecution, and it led to crucifixion on the cross. This is what the world's hate led when it came to Christ. However, the hatred of this world was not enough, because Jesus did resurrect on the third day. He did claim, he did fulfill the prophecy that was spoken about him. Today, no one is without excuse for the lives you live. There's no more excuses. Had Jesus never walked on earth, had it never been presented to us, then perhaps. But Jesus himself said, well, now there's no more excuse for sin. You gotta decide for yourself if you're gonna deny yourself and carry the cross. Every one of us have to make that decision. Those who are disciples, we make that decision every day. Those of you who are not, this is an opportunity for you to decide. What are you gonna do? For me, it's well worth the cost. It's well worth the cost. Now, I am not gonna sit here and tell you that I've suffered just as much as those I read about in the scriptures. Thank God I live in a time where I'm allowed to be in the public arena and have my faith and wear it on my sleeves. I may get persecuted, but it's in a different way. I don't have to hide under a shelf. I don't have to be under bunkers and secretly reading my Bible. I could be in the open and live it out. I can go to my neighbor's house and let them know where I stand. I can share this gift and be able to give it to anyone who wants it. I appreciate that. But I also got to realize there may be a day where that may not be so favorable. There may be a season where the tide will turn, and real persecution beyond measure will be faced here in the United States for bearing his name. Am I ready for that? Am I willing to do that? Are you? Like, these are the questions that I think about. And so I know today we talked about the hatred that was on Christ. And I'm not sure how many of you will receive it, but it is the truth. This world hates Christ. Doesn't matter what we see on TV and how it gets dressed up. The world hates Christ. But we still need to stand. Because if we don't stand, then people like me would have never found Christ. And so that's why we need to stand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ. I understand, and we all understand, God, through your scriptures, what life that he lived, that he had to face the scorn and the shame of carrying the cross, and even dying for a world who did not accept him. That is the ultimate level of love. Although the world hated Christ, Jesus so loved the world, and so did you, because everything he did was given through you. You love this world. I pray that for those of us who are walking in the light, whether we experience the hate, whether we experience persecution, Father, that we could look to Christ and remember these are the words that he told his disciples, but that we would also hold on to the truth, that we would not be those who compromise, those who tolerate, or those who accept sin. We can love people, we can help them, we don't have to accept the sin. Father, if it's the sin in our lives, help us to reject that. And Father, for those who are not in Christ, I pray that you will soften their hearts, that you would move in a way that allows them to see, remove the scales from their eyes, and help them to see the truth for what it is, that there is still time, there is still hope, there is still opportunity to be saved from this dying world. Help us not to buy into the illusion that everything is okay. Help us not to be sleeping at the wheel, but wake us up, God. We thank you so much again. We pray all these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen.